your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back into discussion with John Huber. Now, I want to give Dr. Huber a little bit of airtime here to talk about his nonprofit, because in my opinion, through his nonprofit, he's doing some really great work for kids, for people who fall into the category of mental illness, et cetera, et cetera. Nonprofit is called Mainstream Mental Health. John, tell us about it.
Well, Mainstream Mental Health is out there, and we're trying to destigmatize mental health. We believe that so much of mental health could be affected positively if we actually weren't afraid to talk about the issues that happen, you know, in our homes and in our daily lives. But somehow, you know, whether it's the culture of the military that thinks, you know, military personnel are broken and a detriment to everybody if they report feeling upset or sad or anything like that, or whether the old culture of you hide somebody who has, for example, a cognitive impairment, like we used to call mental retardation. We don't call it that anymore. But if all of a sudden people could start sharing and this world became less fearful of mental health, it's not a possession. It's not demons going after your family. There's actually things that are going on psychologically, physically, biochemically, and we can interfere with that and keep that process from sometimes going all the way to fruition. I think there's a lot of advantages to not being afraid of mental health. And the reality of it is we all deal with it every single day, whether you're having to pick up somebody's workload at your work, whether on Thanksgiving, instead of having Thanksgiving lunch, it's now 3:30 or 4 o'clock because Uncle Bill can't get to the house by then because he's drank too much last night. You know, whatever it is, we're all having to deal with those repercussions. The more we can talk about it, the better we can deal with it, the better we can interfere with its normal progression and slow it down at the very least, and at the very best, stop it from happening altogether.
You know, Doc, I want to say one thing. I have a good friend in Bellingham, Washington, who is also a PhD psychologist, and we were chatting, I guess, a couple, 3 days ago about the situation in Bellingham. A lot of homeless people in Bellingham. And he was saying that what seems to be going on here, I mean, it's not a huge city, but for the size of the city, it's really frightening how many street people and how many homeless people there are. I mean, we have kids in the city adjoining where my wife and I live that are actually living in their parents' cars. I mean, it's a pretty sad situation. But what my friend is saying is he said, I was interviewed to do some intakes for a new facility that the city of Bellingham is proposing to build. And what it is, in a nutshell, is a city there, not a city, but a group of structures that is able to house, let's say, pick a number, 150 people on a temporary basis. And as I understand from what I've read in the local papers, that there's going to be absolutely no psychological help, no mental health issues going to be addressed in that particular facility. And as Kathy has said numerous times, the main cause in America, based on her experience with mainstreaming, is the fact that people are not willing to realize that mental health in the United States, the state of mental health in the United States, is very, very conducive right now to mass homelessness. And as you brought up in terms of some of the stuff that your foundation is doing, that you simply have to recognize people, I guess I should say, simply have to recognize that most of the folks on the streets, whether they're living on the streets, whether they're spending their time on the streets, which I guess is synonymous with living, is these are people who have very serious psychological problems, whether it's addiction problems or what have you. They're not able to function as normal human beings, and so our society has created environments like we have in Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, and other areas. Comment a little bit on that, if you would, and how that fits in with the discussion of your foundation.
Well, it is very key to a lot of it. I mean, we have veterans that are living homeless on the streets because of mental health issues, you know, reliving their experiences in the battlefield every day, every night. And, you know, the reality of it is, in America, you have the right to refuse medical treatment. And some of these people just don't want to be on medications. Some of them actually enjoy the quote unquote freedom that they have living on the streets, because then they're not tied and bound by you know, normal constraints, a 9-to-5 job, for example, or if they want to drink, they can go scrounge up some money and drink. They don't have to worry about what a spouse might say or whether they're going to irritate their kids, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of perceived choice on the individual level. At the same time, is that choice or is that the mental health issues that are going on? Then you add and compound the fact that mental health, you can't be mentally healthy if you're not physically healthy, and you can't be physically healthy if you're not mentally healthy, because they intertwine so much. So there's medical problems with these individuals as well as the mental health problems. And it's by building a shelter and not addressing both the medical and the mental health, you're just putting a Band-Aid on it, and makes the city fathers feel, oh, well, I'm holier than thou. Look what I've done to help these people. And, you know, maybe that is true. I mean, I know police officers in my own town here in Austin, Texas, and surrounding towns who will see, you know, on nights when we're 10 degrees and people are potentially able to freeze to death here in Texas, that they go and arrest some of these homeless people and throw them in the drunk tank, saying they're public intox. And then, you know, they let them go in the morning once they sober up, kind of thing. And it's just to help those people make it through the night because the weather's so horrible. It's not because they're really there, but they make up an excuse because they're humans too. And they know that if all the dominoes lined up in the right way, they could be the person on that street corner. And that's the reality of it. And we got to take care of mental and physical health, not just giving them shelter.
You know, John, one of the questions I would have for you as an expert in this particular area is, it strikes me that the liberal aspect of our political universe really is diminishing the fact that there is so many mental health issues among the homeless, and they're not willing to address them. I don't understand why that's the case. I mean, it's great to have people like Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez go down to the border and visit on a cursory basis the centers for, say, processing some of the Mexicans, et cetera, et cetera. Not even going inside the fences of these particular centers, but to basically say this is all the fault of the United States. It's not. I mean, yes, it is, but it's not all the fault of the Republicans or what have you. Ladies and gentlemen, specifically you, CFS, and you, Out of the Box, what do you guys think about this? Interesting segment, huh?
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.